This is Peter's second letter, of course, that he wrote. Same audience as his first Peter, but a little different approach, a little different topic he's addressing. First Peter, he was trying to encourage them as they were under intense persecution because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that seems something far away, long ago and far away, but the fact of the matter is there's still intense persecution going on around the world, our brothers and sisters in Christ. So it's very relevant. Then 2 Peter, he's writing to them. The persecution has settled down a little bit. And he is addressing two concerns, two dangers to the church there. The first one was indifference, apathy. It kind of just settled in. He challenged them there. Those first 16 verses or so in chapter 1. He urged them, press on, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge. And he pushed that and emphasized that. Don't stagnate. Don't get in a rut. Don't plateau. Keep pressing on. I think if we knew that tomorrow was our last day alive on planet Earth, we ought to be pressing today to be the best Christian we ought to be. And just keep pressing on, pressing on, pressing on. I tell you one thing I appreciate, Brother Harry Miller's faithfulness to the Lord. 100 years, pressing on, growing, and trying to live for God. So, and then the second danger, which I believe is just as dangerous as apathy. I'll tell you, apathy and indifference will kill a church as quick as anything. And a threat from within the church is more dangerous than threats from without. And so one is this indifference, getting settled in and satisfied. And the other is false teachers creeping in the church. And that, from chapter 2 on, is what his subject is for the most part. And I want to read verse number 1 of chapter 2. We've looked at this, I think it was last Sunday night. And I want to pick up here again, verse number 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, referencing the people of God in the Old Testament, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily, secretly, sneakily will bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. I think Peter references three effects that these false teachers would have in a church. And I want to look at them tonight. So let's pray, ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. Father, we thank you once again for the word of God. And it was a good day. And Lord, it sure was a blessing to my heart just to laugh a little bit tonight and sing and fellowship and just joke around a little bit. That was good for me. I thank you for what's being accomplished with the gospel tracts. Thank you for the good testimonies. And I pray now as we look at a very serious subject, a very serious threat to churches throughout history, I pray you'd help us to be on guard. I pray you'd help us to be alert. God, I pray with all my heart, you protect what you've given us here at Mountain Lake. God, keep the devil out. Keep the world out. Keep false teaching and harm out. And take care of your church, I pray. Fill me with your spirit, I ask with all my heart, as I yield my will and my body anew to you. In Jesus' name, amen. The question to ask this evening is not whether any of us have ever been exposed to false teachers or not. The fact of the matter is, every last one of us have been exposed to false teachers. The world is full of them. The world's saturated with false teachers. The objective, what Peter is telling the church here, is you need to keep them out. Don't let these false teachers come in. They're everywhere. The world is saturated. You've been, whether you realize it or not, you've been exposed to false teachers and false teaching. For instance, the media is saturated with false teaching about humanistic philosophies, humanistic religion. We are bombarded on every hand through the media. A man-centered worldview. I venture to say, very rare if at all, you're going to hear on any media, you're not going to hear about the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to hear about the supremacy of God. We're going to hear about man. We're going to hear about government. We're going to hear about all of that. I'm telling you, that is false teaching right off the bat. And so the media is saturated with false teaching. And I mean all kinds of media. I'm telling you, if you're getting your theology and your doctrine off of social media, you're a knucklehead. Say, well, I read this on Facebook about God. Listen, you better start reading and get your face in this book and start learning about God. Huh? We're exposed to false teaching. It's all around us. In the media, in the movies. Do you know the movies come out of Hollywood? Every last one of them has an agenda. They have something they are trying to indoctrinate in the hearts and minds of the people of the world. Every last one of them. I don't trust Hollywood making a movie about the Bible or some Bible character. I don't trust them as far as I can throw them. They're going to put the worldly spin on it every last time. Say, preacher, you think I've been exposed to false teachers? I know you have. All of us have. Through the media, through movies, through music. Through music. Do you know music? When they're singing, they're giving advice. If you listen to those words, some of them are just stupid. Some of them, you don't even know what the words are. But I tell you, every last one of them have a worldview. Every last one of them have values and principles that they live by. And they're advocating through their music, through their music. You say, oh, music's just neutral. Music ain't neutral. I'm here to tell you, the devil was heaven's choir director. He knows how to use music to his advantage. And so we're exposed to false teaching. I saw some real famous singer. I mean, probably the most famous singer in the world. I saw a headline about involved in satanic stuff. And I saw a picture of a stadium and this gal singing, performing half naked at this stadium and tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands and demonic overturns through the whole thing. I'm telling you, that is false teaching. This world is in the grip of the devil. This world is in the grip of false teaching. And it's everywhere. You say, preacher, have I been exposed to it? Yes. Yes. This world, the Bible says, is anti-Christ and it's anti-Bible. This whole world is. Now, just because it's popular, just because there's some popular teaching doesn't mean it's correct teaching. I'd say, well, that's really popular. They must have something. Just because it's popular, it doesn't mean it's correct. That's the biggest church. They must have the truth. Listen, bigness does not equal truthfulness. Now, I'm not opposed to bigness. Just because something's big doesn't mean it's wrong, but it doesn't mean it's right either. Right or wrong is determined by whether we adhere to the Word of God or not. This is our sole authority. And I pray constantly that this church, we'd see a day again when every pew filled, chairs in the aisles, every Sunday school class packed full, buses packed full. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But the important thing is we stay true to the Word of God. Stay true, the Word of God. So the world is saturated with false teachers. Jesus warned about false teachers, about wolves in sheep's clothing is how he put it. He said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, he said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves, are out to destroy and devour. Paul warned about preachers, and he warned the preachers and teachers in Ephesus. He warned them about grievous wolves creeping in after he's gone. He warned them, he says, watch out, it's going to happen. Paul warned about false teachers, wolves in sheep's clothing. Every epistle, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all the way through every single epistle warns about false teachers. Listen, if the Bible continually touches on that, if the Bible is continually hitting that, that's something we ought to pay attention to. Something we ought to be very, very careful about. We live in a world saturated with false, ungodly, anti-God teaching, anti-Bible teaching. And we have got to guard our church. We have got to guard our church. If you would, we're here in 2 Peter. Come over to 1 John, just back towards the back of your Bible there, page or two. Notice 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. Not far. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Notice what he says. He says, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have... Is everybody there? Everybody got it? Let me start over. Little children, it is the last time. This means the last days. We're in the end times. If he was in the end times then, good night. What are we now? And you notice what he says. It is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist, you've heard that Antichrist shall come. Antichrist is coming. How many people ever heard of the Antichrist? Yeah, he's coming. Tribulation period. The next event on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church, and I am ready. Even so, come Lord Jesus. As soon as the rapture takes place, we have a 7-year tribulation period, a period of time Jesus said never was like it before, never will be like it again, and in its terribleness. And during that time, a man's going to rise up as political head of the world, the Antichrist. And he's exactly what his name is, Antichrist. And so John's saying, listen, we're in the last times. We're in the last days. And the Antichrist shall come. It's going to happen. You better mark it down. But notice then what he says. Even now, there are many Antichrists. Whereby we know that it's the last time. He says, the Antichrist, he's coming, tribulation period. He's going to show himself. He said, but even now, during the church age, during this time, he doesn't say there's a few, there could be. He says there's what? Many antichrists, many false teachers, many anti-Bible, anti-Christ teachers. So, come back to Peter here. I'm trying to give this to you quickly tonight. I want us to notice, first of all, the three effects that a false teacher will have if he gets in the church. Three effects. Number one, they destroy themselves. They destroy themselves. Look at the last part of verse number one. It says, even denying the Lord that bought them. Now look at this last statement. And bring upon themselves swift destruction. Swift destruction. Bring upon themselves. A false teacher is self-destructive. They bring it on themselves. The result of denying the Word of God and the Son of God is destruction. These are people never were saved. So these aren't people that trusted Christ and then turned away and became a false teaching. No, no, no. These are people never were saved. By the way, a saved person can never be non-saved person. And so they bring upon themselves swift destruction. The word destruction there means utter ruin. It means to perish. False teaching comes from unsaved people. Then he says, not only are they self-destructive, they bring upon themselves, but he says swift destruction. That word swift means quick, sudden, prompted, unexpected. They bring destruction upon themselves. They convince themselves that the Bible is wrong and they are right, and they pay a very, very heavy price. So one effect of the false teachers, false in the churches, they destroy themselves. Number two, the second thing I notice in verse number two, the first part of verse two, and he says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. These false teachers get in the church and they start influencing people. And notice what it says there, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. That many means just what you think it means, lots. They have a profound influence. They have a profound effect. If you put a bad apple in with a bushel of good apples, what happens to the bad apple? What happens to the bad apple? Nothing. It stays bad, just keeps getting worse. But what happens to the good apples around the bad apple? They turn bad. What Peter's telling the believers, they're settling down. Persecution's died off a little bit. And they're settling down in their churches all through the region here. And they're getting a little indifferent. And they've lost some of their zeal and their enthusiasm for the Lord. And he says, you stir that up. You be diligent. You keep growing. And he says, by the way, he says, you keep those false teachers out. They're going to get in your church. And they're going to destroy themselves. But they're also going to take other people with them. They're going to drag others down with them in large numbers. Notice he says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. The word follow there means to comply with. They'll imitate them. They'll be drawn in at false teachers talking and telling them, hey, you know, let me tell you what I think here. Let me say that Bible verse isn't right. And that there needs to be cut out. That's not real. And and they start doing that. You know, people start saying, you know, you might have a point there. And man, they get sucked in. You know where most cults, I'm told, most cults get their converts from? New believers in Bible preaching churches. They prey on them. We had years ago, this was not long after we came, I had a fellow got saved. There was a he worked with some folks from another church. And as soon as he got, they never said a word to him about coming to their church or about the Lord or anything. As soon as this guy got saved, they said, oh, you need to come over to our church and get the full gospel. You need to come over to our church and get this and get that. What I'm wondering is, why'd they wait till we led them to Christ before they started talking to him about their false teaching? You follow what I'm saying? And many shall follow their pernicious ways. They have an influence. They have an influence. Look over in chapter 1 here of 2 Peter. Look at verse 16. Peter kind of touched on this. He says there in verse 16, he says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. He says, we didn't fall for that. We didn't go into that. Peter said we stood up against it. We said, no, we're not allowing that. We're not going to bring that in. And so they didn't fall into this trap. They didn't get drugged down with the others. For whatever reason, these false teachers have a profound effect, attraction to other people to drag them in. Then he says they're pernicious ways. The word pernicious is exact, comes from the exact same word as destruction. Back up there at the end of verse 1, he says, bring upon themselves swift destruction. Comes from the same word as pernicious ways. What they do destroys people. False teachers destroy faith in God. False teachers destroy faith in the Word of God. Listen, any book, any preacher, any song, any person that gets you and I to start questioning and doubting that Bible, you need to get far away from them. That's what false teachers do, pernicious ways. They bring in and destroy our faith, destroy our confidence in God. If you would, keep your place here. Come with me to the book of Matthew, real quickly, Matthew. And notice with me chapter number 7. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Most famous sermon in all of history by Lord Jesus Christ. He's preaching to his disciples, but he's referencing salvation. And in Matthew chapter 7, notice with me verse number 13. Matthew 7 verse 13. He says, enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to what? Destruction. That's death and hell. Now notice the next statement. And what? Many there be that go in thereat. False teaching draws people in, drags people down to hell with them. Look up, in, if you would, at verse number 22. He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and thy name did many wonderful works? They had some false teaching, told them they could work for their salvation. You do this, and you do that, and you do that, boy, God will let you right into heaven. Look at verse number 23. Then will I profess unto them, I what? Never knew you. Never. They weren't saved and lost it. They never had it. Never knew you. The false teachers, the effects, number one, they destroy themselves. They keep themselves from Christ. They keep themselves for simply taking God at His Word and the Bible for what it says. And in so doing, they refuse Christ. And they die in their sins. They end up in the devil's hell. Then they drag other people along with them. Remember we preached last Sunday on Barabbas. And that crowd, the majority of the people, when Jesus came into the city of Jerusalem, riding upon that colt, and man, people were praising him, and people were saying, Hosanna to the Son of God, praise the Lord. And they're rejoicing and exalting and worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ as he should be. And in 1 week's time, those Jewish false teachers turned that whole crowd around. And 1 week later, they're yelling out, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Listen, that is a perfect picture of the danger of false teachers. Take that church away. Take those people away from the Lord. Anybody recognize the name Jim Jones? Jim Jones. We lived in Indianapolis. He started out, if I remember correctly, he started out in Indianapolis. They moved around a little bit, ended up going down to Guyana, South America. That's where our missionary, Ray Bolts, is heading down. I told him, don't you serve any Kool-Aid down there. Old Jim Jones convinced 900 people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to drink poison-laced Kool-Aid. 340 of those 900 people were little children, just like sitting on our pews here. False teacher. I'm convinced under the influence of Satan himself, dragged 900 people down into a devil's hell with him. Listen, we better take this seriously, amen or not. We better keep our defenses up. We better be careful. We stick with the book. Everything that comes through this church ought to be measured by the Word of God. By the Word of God. Not the Word of the preacher, not a deacon board, not a publishing company, but the Word of God. They drag others down. They drag others down. Let me give you my last thought. Number three, what's the effects of a false teacher? One, they destroy themselves. Number two, they drag others down. Number three, they defame biblical Christianity. Look what he says here back in Peter chapter 2 there. Look at verse 2. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, look at this, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. The way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Somebody talk to me. What does he mean by the way of truth? What's he referring to? The way of truth. The gospel or biblical Christianity? He's talking about genuine biblical Christianity. And he says because of these false teachers, people speak ill. They speak evil of biblical Christianity. He turns them against the biblical fundamentals of the faith. Evil spoken of, that's an interesting phrase. He says, by reason of whom the way of truth, biblical Christianity, shall be evil spoken of. That phrase, evil spoken of, means to defame. Means to blaspheme or slander. To say, give false accusations against the biblical Christianity, to make it seem bad and dangerous in the eyes of people. Let me ask you a question. Is Christianity, biblical Christianity, being defamed in our world today? Yes. I'm here to tell you, we are becoming, in the eyes of the world, we are becoming the enemy of the state. We hold to this book and we hold to the values and principles of the Bible. We are a threat to society. We're told we're hate speech. We're told we're enemies of the people. We're told we're a threat to the well-being of others. And if you believe the Bible, they say, you scare me. You're threatening me. Just for believing the Bible. I'm telling you, biblical Christianity is the safest doctrine in all the world. We love our enemies. We do good to them that despitefully use us. We pray for them that curse us. But yet, false teaching turns society to speak evil, defame biblical Christianity. Attempt to make biblical truth appear to be corrupt and evil. Attempt to make Bible believers as corrupt people and evil people. I tell you, false teachers have throughout history, no doubt, but especially, I think, in our day and age, make truth look so false. They can make that which is right appear to be so wrong. They can make that which is good seem so evil. They turn the world against the truth of Scripture. I say it so often. They perfected the ability to make evil seem right and right seem evil. You have some church stand up and stand in loving and compassion and genuine sincerity for the Word of God. And this whole world will turn on them and say they're hateful and say they're prejudiced and make every accusation you can possibly think and mark that church as a threat to society. And that's what false teaching does. That's how it's gotten into our denominations. That's why I thank God Mount Lake Independent Baptist Church is an independent Baptist church. I've said this before. I'll say it again. We don't have to deal with all that denominational stuff. We answer to Christ and Christ alone. Directly. And by the way, Mount Lake Independent Baptist Church ought to always stay an independent Baptist church. Stick with the old King James Bible and stick with the doctrines that that book teaches. Stick with soul winning and missions. Stay after that. You say, yeah, but it's not popular. The world turns against us. Listen, I don't care if the world's against me as long as Jesus is for me. They make evil seem good. They defame biblical Christianity. The devil and this old world has been speaking evil about his church since the church began. Mountain Lake Independent Baptist Church, let's stay true to that book. Amen? Let's keep our guard out. Let's make sure the devil doesn't get let's not even crack the door to give the devil an inch. Amen? Father, please bless now. Go to the Lord's Supper. I pray you'd stir our hearts, stay true to the book. And Lord, we see it happening. Probably be more unless you send some sort of revival. We're just becoming more and more oddballs. We're becoming more and more a threat in the eyes of this old world because we believe the Bible. Because we love Jesus, want to reach others. I pray you'd help us stay true. Lord, help us stay sweet. Help us, Lord, keep a right position, but help us keep a right disposition. Not get angry and hateful and hard, but trust true and firm. Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many say, preacher, I want to be true to that old book. I want to be true. How about it, young people? I'll be true to that old book. Moms and dads, we'll just stay with it. Stay with it. Let's quit worrying about what the world thinks. Let's quit worrying about whether we're popular or not. Let's just love God and love our neighbor. Amen. Father, bless our invitation. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.